Chapter 26 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, entitled Of the Communion of the Saints. Remember that we are using the American version, which is far from perfect, but we're using it nonetheless. Chapter 26. All saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by his Spirit and by faith, have fellowship with him in his graces, sufferings, death, resurrection and glory. And, being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces, and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as do conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. Saints, by profession, are bound to maintain and holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God, and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification, as also in relieving each other in outward things, according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, as God offereth opportunity, is to be extended unto all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. This communion which the saints have with Christ doth not make them in any wise partakers of the substance of his Godhead, or to be equal with Christ in any respect, either of which to affirm is impious and blasphemous. Nor doth their communion one with another as saints take away or infringe the title or propriety which each man hath in his goods and possessions. Now this is a beautiful chapter. It reminds us that the church is a communion, as it's put in section 2, a holy fellowship, a people united to one another in their union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In section 1, the divines anchor, you'll notice, the communion of the saints in the saints' communion with Christ. And this, of course, is the fountainhead of the Christian life and the life of the church. By his Spirit and by faith, we have communion with him, we are told, in his graces, sufferings, death, resurrection and glory. And this union is, of course, a federal or representative union. It's also a spiritual union, one that has been inaugurated by the Spirit. And it is a mystical union, sometimes expressed better felt than telt. All Christ is, as the glorified God-man, the divines are saying, he is for his people. And it is into this soil that every believer is planted. And so union with Christ necessarily involves union and communion with one another in love. We cannot be united to Christ and not be united in love to the people of Christ. And the divines here quote, you'll notice amongst other passages, Ephesians 4, 15, 16, and 1 Corinthians 12, 7, which further emphasize that we share in one another's gifts and graces and are obliged, you'll notice, obliged to seek the mutual good of one another, both in the inward and outward man. We have what we have as stewards. We do not possess anything by right. We have what we have as stewards, that we might use what we have to the mutual good, both in the inward and outward man, of those to whom we have been united in Jesus Christ. In section 2, the divines develop the doctrine of the saints' communion with one another. They tell us that we are first bound to maintain a holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God. In other words, they're saying that worship on the day that God has commanded is a necessity and not an option. Second, we're encouraged to perform several gifts and responsibilities towards each other in spiritual services as tend to our mutual edification. The early Christians shared what they possessed. Remember the words in 1 John, if we see a brother in need and say to him only, I will pray for you, how can the love of God dwell within us? Brothers, says John, let us love in deed and in truth as well as in word. And this communion, we are told, this fellowship, this care, this concern for one another is to be extended to all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who belong to Christ, all of them, are to be the recipients of our fellowship and care. Because the one basis for fellowship is union with Jesus Christ. It's not a denominational concern, and certainly not merely a Reformed concern. We are to extend unto all those who in every place call upon the Lord Jesus the compassion and practical care and concern that God commands of us, and that he himself, as the prototypical father, gave to his children. And in section 3, the divines here really are responding to inner light teaching in their own day. Some radical Anabaptists of the time taught that believers were deified in Christ. They misunderstood Peter's words, being partakers of the divine nature, to mean that we were somehow deified in Christ. And the divines react against that. This union doth not make them in any wise partakers of the substance of the Godhead, or to be equal with Christ in any respect. And also these inner light Anabaptists practice what we might call a primitive communism. And the divines, rightly and biblically, are reacting against that. The inner light Anabaptists were teaching that the right of private property was a sin. And the divines, you see the passages that they quote, Acts 5:4, Ananias and Sapphira makes the point eloquently, nor doth their communion one with another as saints take away or infringe the title or propriety which each man hath in his goods and possessions. Remember how the apostles say to Ananias and Sapphira, the property you had was your own. And as long as you had it, you had the responsibility and freedom to use it as you chose. There was no compulsion upon you, no compulsion whatsoever. The sharing of property was always voluntary. It was the response of love to need. And it was never prescribed, never prescribed. And yet, all we have as stewards that we will one day be called to account for. And so we are to use whatever gifts the Lord has given to us, whatever possessions and properties he has given to us, we are to use that for his glory, for the good of others, and, of course, for our own blessing and benefit. For the Lord gives all good things richly for us to enjoy. But the great concern here is to recognize two things: that we are bound to one another through our union with Jesus Christ. And that communion, therefore, is to extend to all those who everywhere call upon the name of the Lord. We can never say, or should never say, as Jesus' disciples sadly said, Lord, we told him to stop because he wasn't one of us. If he is Christ's, then he is one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you have united us by the grace of your Son and by the power of your Spirit to our Saviour Jesus Christ. And you have united us to him, Lord, that we might have communion with him and communion with all who have been united to him. Help us to practice the communion of the saints. Help us ever, Lord, to see beyond our own horizons. Help us, Lord, to recognize the body of Christ, wherever it is found in all the earth, and to embrace those whom you have embraced in your saving love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.